From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, December 23rd, 2008. Each week, we take a look at news and trends in the location technology marketplace. This is Adina Schutzberg in Somerville, Massachusetts.
And Joe Francica in Huntsville, Alabama.
The year is just about over, so why did so many organizations announce new products, updates, agreements, and developer opportunities this week? The distraction of the upcoming holidays may mean few are paying attention, but we are. We'll share some of the announcements you don't want to miss and why they are important in a moment. But first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by ESRI. Quickly get your imagery to the people who need it with ArcGIS Server Image Extension. For more information, visit www.esri.com/image.
Now, I think maybe the best way to do this, Joe, is we can sort of alternate with some of the announcements that we found that popped up over the last week. And I was amazed at how busy it was last week. The press releases were coming fast and furious, even though the economy is down. People are starting to take time off for the holidays. We've had huge storms across the United States, and yet geotechnology keeps marching on.
There's certainly no slowdown, and the amount of press releases we've received and the amount of more significant announcements that we've had, I think just attest to the fact that going into the new year, location technology is not going to slow down and may presage an advance in some of the relationships and announcements that we may see in the coming year.
Okay, well, let's get right to them. I'm going to start off with a product announcement, and this is a product called Depiction, which is described as what-if mapping software. Now, I've been following Depiction through beta. I actually found them on Twitter. And the press release came out that announced the product, and the big focus seemed to be the price, which is $89, which is a fabulous price. What I think is going to be really interesting to our listeners is that the software is really about creating these rule-based scenarios. So you can actually run a scenario, and when a certain set of circumstances is hit, something will happen. And that's the kind of what-if kind of thing that geospatial people like to do. So I want to urge folks to have a look at it. There's a free two-week trial if you don't have the $89.
Okay, the one I want to focus on first is an announcement by Placecast that said that they've identified the top digital advertising trends in 2009. Now, they listed six of them that they thought were valuable. There were a couple that we wanted to point out. The one I wanted to focus on was they think that the web will be connected to the physical world. I thought that was interesting. I don't know if we aren't already connected, but the way that they focused it was that they saw a connection between what's happening on the web and some location-based applications. The ones they mentioned were like Geode for Firefox, Fire Eagle from Yahoo, Chrome, and Gears, the location API that's now available through Google. So they thought that there was becoming a little bit more connected between the web and the location apps that are now available. What Placecast said was that for advertisers, this trend presages a host of new services launching in 2009 using location in various ways. In the long term, we can expect location data to be incorporated into search algorithms as another way of increasing relevance. I think that what may be on the horizon is that there's a link between hyperlocal news and hyperlocal advertising. You know, that the boom that we think is going to happen, where the mom-and-pop stores and perhaps dense urban neighborhoods take advantage of location, won't happen until there's a platform. Maybe some of that is in some of these hyper-local news opportunities. But even that's a little sketchy. Still, Placecast is placing their future on location-based advertising.
Okay, and an update this time from a mapping site. The mapping site is called Policy Map, and we've written about that in the past. It's a terrific site for making maps, schematic maps based on different kinds of demographics, real estate, education, employment kind of information. And what's new is now you can actually make those maps and embed them in your website with just a little bit of embed code. And this is great because they've got 4,000 data indicators, including data from sources like the Census, Claritas, the FBI, IRS, Postal Service, Home Mortgage Disclosure Act. So in these challenging times, this might be a great resource to get a handle on what's going on. So check out the updated policy map.
We had a strategic partnership announced last week between Ubisense and Spatialine. These names may be somewhat unfamiliar to some of our folks if they don't follow us. Ubisense's big push is in real-time location systems using ultra-wideband technology. Spatialeye is a German-based company, and they have a platform called the Spatial Workshop. It's a mapping software used for spatial information integration, query analysis, reporting. Sounds somewhat familiar to me, like what you might find with some of the other platforms. Their platform is specifically dedicated to integrating Oracle Small World and ESRI maps. Now, the history behind here is that Ubisense kind of came out of a Small World group of executives that are now offering other types of good old-fashioned GIS consulting. Spatialeye, again, more focused and concentrated on taking those same apps and putting them on a baseline platform. So those two companies are getting together. Ubisense is now offering the Spatialeye solution in the U.S. It's kind of an interesting announcement. What I'm wondering is if this is a move to anticipate what's going on in the Small World situation or the GE situation, which is moving entirely off the Small World platform and going more towards an Oracle Spatial platform. So that may be a move to anticipate what's coming down the line with some of the GE/Small World solutions.
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting announcement just because I had forgotten that Ubisense actually does have a consulting arm, so it was nice to be reminded of that. Next up, the folks at Networks in Motion, NIM, NIM, just got a new patent, and the patent is for graphical sharing of information. And you might not think that has to do with location, but the actual title will suggest that it does. And the actual title of the patent is Method and Apparatus for Sending, Retrieving, and Planning Location-Relevant Information. And here's what they've patented. They've basically patented a technique where if you've got an interface and you want to send somebody information about a location, you take the icon of the thing you want to send information about, say a restaurant, you drag and drop it on top of the person's icon, and magically the location information and directions get sent to that person. So this is a very bizarre patent in my book. It sounds like they've sort of repatented drag and drop, but for a specific kind of thing. So that's one to keep an eye on.
That's pretty cool, actually. I want to see that. I want to see that in real life. Last week, we saw Delorme and Rand McNally form an exclusive distribution agreement, where Rand McNally becomes the exclusive North American distributor for Delorme's print-based product line, the Delorme Street Atlases and Folded Maps for Maine and New England, in addition to the 50-state Atlas Gazetteer series of topographic maps, are now available through them. The other thing that we may see here is that both companies are looking beyond print. Rand McNally announced the first of a series of maps now available for Amazon Kindle. If you've not seen this, it's billed as the Amazon's wireless reading device. Go to the Amazon website. Very cool application for what some people are calling the future of book reading. Very small device, about 10 ounces. You sort of carry it like kind of an oversized PDA. Very, very interesting device. What I think here we're seeing is a marriage of necessity, where once very strong players in the mapping industry may be feeling the pinch of the online mapping behemoths. At least that's my take. Both companies had some of the very first digitally available mapping data sets for consumer use, but with the online web mapping systems here from Google, Microsoft, I think the brands have become slightly diminished. Not that they don't produce high-quality data products, but I think people are finding other sources.
I like the fact that this is sort of a mix of what I consider to be the very old guard of mapping, which is Rand McNally, and the new guard of Delorme. We'll see how that plays out, but I expect a tighter relationship between them outside of print to happen as well. The folks at ERDAS announced that ERDAS Titan 2009, the latest version, now supports OpenStreetMap as a default base map. And both of us, I think, looked at that announcement and sort of scratched their head and said, oh, that's interesting. And part of the reason is that OpenStreetMap has sort of been in the news more, and ERDAS Titan, frankly, I don't hear that much about, except for the regular announcements of updates. So clearly, ERDAS is spending a lot of time working on that viewer. Now, what's interesting is how they made the OpenStreetMap data available. And what they did was they took advantage of an existing WMS service from Ware Group that serves out the OpenStreetMap data. Now, you can use the same WMS in your web or other applications. There's a free version that's updated twice a year, and if you want to pay a fee, you can get a version that's updated much more frequently. So nice way to highlight that available WMS of the OpenStreetMap database.
Did you tease anything out of this more than just a simple, we're going to use OpenStreetMap? Is there something more to the community aspect of what ERDAS is trying to do with Titan to bring more people in here, and this is just one of those things that they think will get some attention?
I'm not ready to make that statement. I'm honestly still figuring out the role and place of Titan in the marketplace.
Well, we're going to keep watching those announcements because I think ERDAS is searching for it, for how to make that a stable offering in their product suite and get more community involved. Announcement here from Sprint. Sprint made a couple of different announcements last week. They launched an open location platform with Wave Market and Ulocates, where they're trying to attract more location-based solutions developers, and that's something that you'll see a lot of the carriers trying to do. Sprint kind of, I think, behind a little bit, even though they were one of the first ones to utilize GPS. But for application developers, I think they've kind of fallen behind a little bit. I think what Sprint is trying to be more open and attract more apps as it goes ahead with some the iPhone and Android phones. I think what WaveMarket brings to Sprint are some of the backbone platform applications like privacy and parental controls and navigation, whereas Ulocates Wear platform offers some of the social location-based networking apps. I think this is really a move to compete with before iPhone and AT&T don't run away with the gold here. I think that Sprint's just trying to play catch-up.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think the whole open is really becoming serious, especially with the Android phones coming out. The final press release I want to mention is from USGS, and it was actually a notification about updates to the National Map website. And I have to believe that an awful lot of people, myself included, were disappointed that this didn't mean that they had, in fact, updated the National Map application itself. But that's coming. But what they have done is sort of said, okay, we're working on it. We're going to give you regular updates. In fact, they've committed to updating the What's New section of the website every Tuesday. Fortunately, they seem to have missed last Tuesday. But I really like the fact that they're working on being transparent and communicating regularly with potential users. So good news from USGS.
Yeah, and I think people had somewhat forgotten about the National Map, and I think they just need to be a little bit more proactive in getting news and information out there. I think that it's just gotten lost in some of the other stuff that's out there. The last one I wanted to bring up is that TomTom announced their 5 millionth map share improvement. This milestone results, as I said in the press announcement, from a surging adoption of TomTom's proprietary technology by the TomTom MapShare community, which has grown 1,000% from 500,000 users at the beginning of the year to over 5 million users today. To put this 5 million milestone in perspective, a one-hour trip made anywhere in North America or Europe will be influenced by 20 to 30 MapShare updates. The significance of the milestone also becomes clear when one compares it to the 15,000 reports that TeleAtlas receives in an average month from end users. Well, that's a great milestone. It's phenomenal. But the one thing that I noticed is if you look at how easy it is to make, you know, what TomTom did to make these changes, it's incredibly easy. All they have to do is point to an icon, you know, one of the standard choices, like a road blockage, and then, you know, they've made it locally to their own TomTom device. But if they want to share it, they just bring it back, plug it into a docking station, and upload the information to TomTom. I think this is the only way you're going to get people to participate, and the number of map improvements that they've made is obviously an indication of this ease of use.
Absolutely. It is dead simple, and they are to be applauded for that. One question I had about the language of the press release is, why did they note that it's proprietary software?
Yeah, strange use of words.
I think really the word they really wanted was unique. That's what I really think they wanted to say, because it is, in fact, there's nothing else like this out there right now. The other thing to note, too, that came out of that press release is that the most changes are in Germany, the UK, and the United States. If you want to compare that to another sort of crowdsourced map, OpenStreetMap, since we just mentioned it, the largest number of changes in 2008 were in the UK and Germany. So people are very active in the sort of simple way to share updates and one that requires a little bit more effort. So that's just interesting. Well, that's all the time we have today. Those are 10 pieces of news that happened in the last week and a half that we want to make sure you didn't miss among all of the holiday excitement. Before we go, our sponsor, ESRI, would like you to know that registration is now open for the 2009 ESRI Developer Summit, which will take place March 23rd to the 26th in Palm Springs, California. There you can connect with ESRI staff and software developers from around the world to explore trends, tips, and best practices for effective GIS development. For more information and to register to attend, visit www.esri.com/devsummit. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank ESRI for sponsoring this podcast for all of 2008, and I understand they'll be with us for 2009. If you happen to run into your local ESRI representative, let them know that you listen to the podcast and let them know that you appreciate their support of Directions Media and this podcast. Thanks for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.